Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with a special edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to play a song for you, and hopefully you'll like it. Here we go. Hello, shalom, shalom. Can you hear me? Hello? Brother Adonia, if you could push one, we would greatly appreciate it. There he is. Let me get him together. Prince Asiel, if you could please push one, we'd appreciate it. We'd get you right on the air as well. One moment, please. Brother Adonia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. We're going to have an exciting show today. We're really excited because we have a very special guest that is on the line, and the phone lines are filling up as we speak. And I want to get him right on. We don't want to leave him hanging. So let me open up the mic for him right now so that he can speak to us. Prince Asiel, are you there, sir?
Absolutely, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. How are you, sir?
Shalom, shalom. I'm absolutely great. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we have a very exciting show today. We're very excited that you're with us, that you're part of our show. We sent out a bolo to let everyone know in Israel that you were going to be here. So we're anticipating a lot of people on the line today. So, Brother Donia, you want to address the prince?
Shalom, my lord. How are you?
My beloved brother, absolutely great. Shalom, shalom uvaraka, peace and blessings.
Okay, same to you. I hope everything works out today. You know, you get a chance to express to the peoples our aim and goal and where we headed in this day and time.
Well, I'm going to be as transparent as you need me to be and as loquacious as I know I want to be.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Prince Asiel, what is it that you would like to say to our audience today? Because we have people listening all over the world, and if you want to address it, please feel free to take the mic. The line is all yours.
Well, let me first thank you and the men and the women, the brothers and sisters of the Yehuda Project, for being the prophetic fulfillment of the people of God that have been scattered from that land for more than 2,000 years. And God has put it in your heart and the hearts of the men and the women that have joined unto the Yehuda Project and to the Yehuda Nation that it is truly prophetic time. And I see my connecting with you as part of that prophetic reality because when I moved out of America in the late 60s, early 70s, to become aware of what our destiny should be and was, I go back to the time that Curtis Mayfield of the singing group out of Chicago, who was talking about if there's a hell below, we all gonna go. Marvin Gaye was singing What's Going On, God Is My Friend, Save the Babies. The 50 Mentions were singing, Earth, Wind, and Fire were saying, Keep Your Head to the Sky. And all of these men and women who were writing music, Sam Cooke would say, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. I didn't know it at the time that wind and spirit is the same word in Hebrew, ruach. Mm-hmm. So truly the answer was in the spirit. And so as the winds of change were blowing, meaning the spirit of the Creator was blowing, I heard it. And it took me back to thousands of years ago when I was a servant to my God and my people in our land. And it led me to know that I should be listening for the clues and the signals that the Creator would give me. And one of those clues was and is today that Dr. King, in 1968, before he was killed the next day, declared to the world that God had allowed him to go to the mountaintop and look over and see the promised land. I may not get there with you, he said, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Now, at that time, what other promised land could a black minister be talking about except the Holy Land? And in 1968, I found out that Dr. King had planned on taking 5,000 black Christians to the Holy Land after he had received the Nobel Prize for Peace. The next stop was Israel. And he went into Israel and made Andy Young go back, Ambassador Andy Young, negotiate that tour. And it just so happened that after he had completed the negotiations and was heading back to America, it was on that day, June 6, 1967, that the Six-Day War broke out in Israel and prevented that trip from taking place. And the very next year, Dr. King was brutally murdered. That interrupted and prevented that.
Wow.
So when I start putting all these pieces together and I realized that I was operating out of Chicago, I was a businessman, I was a member of a group of serious men, and I was connected with serious women who was thinking about the progressive nature of what our people ought to do. It was the civil rights era. It was the integration era. It was a time when black people were hopeful and everybody was calling each other brother and sister. We were wearing African garments. We had identified with Africa. It was a Pan-African time of the year. Ghana had become the first independent African nation in 1957. It was a time for freedom-seeking black people. And because I was conscious or wanted to be conscious, I was in search of answers for how would we get out of the dilemma that we found ourselves in after more than 200 years of chattel slavery in America. And then discrimination. Well, we know that in 1954, the Supreme Court of America declared the law of Plessy versus Ferguson and all of those other racial laws unconstitutional, and we began to realize that we were somebody, as made popular by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Malcolm X had been talking about independence, liberation, nation time. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling our people we got to separate and do for self. He had written a book called Eat to Live. It was so much consciousness going on across Black America, and we were excited and determined to be a new people. We were going into the universities. We were going into the schools. We were going into the workplace. We were going into corporate America. We were going internationally. We believed that it was time for us to make a change. We started talking about independent African-American institutions. We got blacks elected to the United States Congress. We began to form the Congressional Black Caucus, the Black Conference of Mayors. We had great men, Mahmoud Baraka. We had Huey Newton, Eldridge Cleaver. We had great women, Angela Davis. We had all of these great men and women who was determined that we was going to change the condition of our people and ourselves. So I was very, very excited as a young man. And when I then was introduced to my history and my culture and found that I was part of the tribe of Judah and a biblical descendant of the God of Israel's people, and I realized that the promised land was Northeast Africa, from the river of Euphrates to the Nile River in Uganda, from modern-day Iraq all the way down to modern-day Uganda. It opened my mind to a whole nother concept, that the people of the Bible were truly an African people, and that we had a prophetic destiny that we could not escape, because once it had been spoken from the mind and the mouth of the Creator through his prophets, I knew it had to come to pass. And even though, like Moses, he had been raised in the house of the Pharaoh, but when it came time for him to leave the house of the Pharaoh, he did that. Uh-huh. And when it was time for me to leave the house of the Pharaoh, I did that. And I left and journeyed up to Israel without any knowing anybody except one or two people who lived there and who had decided they wanted to go there and begin to build a community that ultimately would turn into, excuse me, a nationalistic movement among the African in America, known as the Nation of Israel. In 1948, there was an African American by the name of Ralph Bunche, who helped negotiate the first peace settlement in 1948. And so Israel was involved from the beginning, or the rebirth of Israel, to right now. And so I journeyed up with others out of Chicago as part of a coalition to join with those who were there to begin to strengthen our presence in the Holy Land. So that for me was the beginning, excuse me, of a great, great time. If you have been, I'm talking to the audience now, have been reading some of the books about black, there's a book called Black Judaism by a professor from the University of Illinois. And in it, he sort of documents from the early 1800s, he sort of talks about, I think, in 1822, that where they began to identify the earliest identification of black people identifying themselves as Israelites in America. And so the name of this book is Black Judaism, and it's by James Landing, Black Judaism by James Landing, The Story of American Movement. The first beginning of the book, it talks about what was happening in 1668 in the U.S., and I want my reader to read a little bit for you, for the listening audience. Starting now.
Chapter 1, Varieties of Black Judaism, Boston, 1668. One Sunday in 1668, a Massachusetts resident named Solomon was traveling from Boston on a journey to New Hampshire. In an era when men were sentenced to a month in jail for missing church on Sunday, this was apparently unusual behavior. At Ipswich, Solomon was accosted and brought before officials of the court. Though the records do not reveal the outcome of this case, the defendant was described in the account as Mulatto Jew.
A black Jew. So this was 1668. This is documentation of our presence and the knowledge of us being Israelites in American history documented back then. Then the next case was Arkansas. 1888
in Arkansas. In 1888, an ex-slave and a black Baptist preacher said he had received divine revelations in Wrightsville, Arkansas. It was revealed to him that the genealogy of Abraham inspired by the revelations. The following year, he founded the Church of the Living God, adopted the title of chief. The ancient Hebrews had lived in tribes and prepared catechism that contained the following statement. Was Jesus a member of the black race?
Yes.
Matthew 1. How do you know? Because he was in the line of Abraham and David the king.
Which is what the founder of the Yehuda nation traces her lineage back to the tribe of Judah. And that's how I know I'm talking to the right people at the right time in history doing the right thing. And I honor all of those of the Yehuda nation as being prophetically correct. And I applaud you, sister, for having the vision and the courage and the tenacity to take a stand when it wasn't popular 15 years ago. Continue on.
Question. What color was Jeremiah? Answer. He said he was black. Jeremiah 8:21.
All of this is documented in what is called biblical history. So I wanted our people to see that we are not just making up that we black Jews or black Hebrews or Hebrews are black. The history of the world that had been hidden from us. Remember now, we were not allowed to read and write as a people until just now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason that my reader doesn't maybe correctly pronounce all of the English words is that he was born a Hebrew in Israel, and he speaks the Semitic languages of Hebrew and Arabic. English is his third or fourth language. So from time to time, you may hear him stumble on an English word. It's not because he's illiterate or he can't read. It's because these are words, after 40 years of speaking Hebrew and Arabic, he's now mastering the English language.
Thank
now,
you.
So that you would know that. Chicago, what year?
Chicago, 1913.
1913, Chicago. This is all out of Black Judaism, the book by James Landon, a professor from the University of Illinois. Go right ahead.
During the summer of 1913, a black Jew was heard exhorting on the street corner at 32nd and Dearborn in Chicago's emerging South Side black community. Later, he appeared in the offices of Robert S. Abbott, owner and publisher of the Weekly Defender, the most well-known of Chicago's black newspapers. He introduced himself to Abbott as a rabbi from the Abyssinia, who had come to assist Chicago's blacks in recognizing their true Jewish heritage and to restore Solomon's Temple so that blacks could worship in the true religion of their forefathers.
Now, we know Abyssinia is formerly Ethiopia, too. Go ahead.
He and several other Abyssinian Jews advised Abbott that they would offer lectures on the Abyssinian people three times weekly and tell about their country, customs, army, and the interior and exterior of Solomon's Temple. They also offered to prove to the more learned white Jews of Chicago that the Negro is the right Jew and believe that if white Jews would only hear their case in a spirit of fairness, they would also be convinced and acknowledge these facts. Operating under the name of International Peace and Brotherly Love Movement, they invited all persons, regardless of creed or color, to join in their cause to help us uplift downfallen humanity.
Now, one last excerpt of reading from this book right now. This is South Africa, what year?
1918.
Read.
In 1918, a black leader of the Church of God and Saints of Christ in South Africa claimed to have had a vision in which he witnessed two white governments at war. Suddenly, a baboon appeared and crushed the two white warring parties. For teaching that the baboon was the native population and the two armies of the British and Dutch governments. He was excommunicated. He then settled near Bull Hawk, not far from Queenstown, where he founded his own Israelite colony. As bishop, prophet, and watchman, he taught his followers to observe the Sabbath on Saturday, commemorate Passover annually at the Bull Hope and his tabernacle, and to regard the New Testament as fiction of the white man.
Now, I wanted the listening audience to know that the Yehuda Project and the Yehuda Nation didn't just up and do this 15 years ago. This is a history of God's people scattered throughout the world and in America, in South Africa, in the African nations of South Africa, Zimbabwe, Ghana, and East Coast as well, not just Ethiopia, not just Sudan. We have done extensively, and I said that I started moving across West Africa in the 70s, starting in Senegal, and I met the late Sheikh Anta Diop, the famous historian and anthropologist and Egyptologist, who said to me that it was absolutely no doubt scientifically that he had proven that the Egyptian people were black and that if the Hebrew people stayed in Egypt 400 years, there was no way for them not to be black and African. And we then began a relationship of establishing facts so that we would not be accused of grafting in somebody else's history, and it was not the history of our people that was scattered to the ends of the earth. So I wanted to do that by way of introduction first, my beloved sister and brother, so that now I'll stop and let y'all ask me anything you want, and I will continue to share with you my background and my history.
Wow.
That's powerful. I mean, you know, just knowing that 1668, that we reached that far back where we knew who we were, you know, because a lot of things have been said on this show that a lot of us did not know who we were when we came over on the slave ships. We had no idea who we were. And, you know, it leads me to question because of the slaves and some of the songs that they used to sing, it's speculative because it sounded as though they knew what they had given up. They knew why they were there, you know. And all of this is rich history. It's very powerful history. And could you announce the book one more time and the name of the author, please?
Yes, I'll do this throughout the show, too, so that those who join later will be able to get this. And what we are doing now, my beloved sister, is we land the foundation for the show that you offered and extended to me to do on behalf of our people so that the history of what we are doing and have been doing over the years will be documented so that our people will get the research and do it themselves and read it for themselves to know that we are not making up stuff, but it's documented by world-famous historians and anthropologists that exist before and after. The name of the book is Black Judaism, An American Movement by James Landing, Landing, out of the University of Illinois Press, who published the book.
All right. All right, Brother Donia, do you have any questions for him?
Excuse me. First and foremost, I want to let you know that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to converse with you over this venue, and I hope and pray that we'll be able to stand up strong with this opportunity. You understand, to reestablish ourselves as true Hebrew Israelites in the land of Israel.
Well,
that is aim.
You know, I didn't have to make that prayer. We went back into Israel and laid that foundation back in 1968-69 and the early 70s. And we fought. And in 1993, the American government sent its ambassador down to Dimona, Arad and Mizpeh, to announce that those African Americans that had come over to establish themselves as the Israelites are now recognized as such by the American government, and the Israeli Minister of Interior came down and announced that we have been received for who we are. So what is taking place now is a refinement of the people that came over. You must remember prophetically the wheat and the tares were mixed together. So they had to grow together, and then it would be a shaking out. And those of you who know prophecy know that in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about the dry bones coming together. And I see that what we're doing between the Yehuda nation and Better World is the original African Hebrew Israelite nation of Jerusalem, are those two sticks coming together for us never to separate again, because there's going to be many, many people trying to break up what God is putting together, but it won't work.
You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. And my response to it is, What baffles me is, and I believe everything that you say, but knowing the opposition that we face here today, I mean, you know, we have tried everything in our power to get the governments to listen to us. We, for instance, the Megiddo Project, where they have us labeled as domestic terrorists, we can't get any assistance at all in America for any venue, whether it be political or whether it is the news, whatever, to even listen to us. And sometimes we feel like we're beating a dead horse, you know. So when you say things like the government has send an ambassador to Israel to acknowledge that we are the true Hebrew Israelites, you know, that's uplifting and refreshing, because the battle over here is really hard. They make the battle extremely hard. They ignore us, basically, is what they do. I mean, you know, it's okay for you. And I think that the disappointment for me is when I finally began to intermingle with some of the different camps, I found that a lot of the men and the women, were even afraid to even say they were Hebrew Israelites, because they were afraid of the rejection, they were afraid of the persecution, even of losing their jobs. So how do we, what encouragement would you give us over here, now that you're back in Chicago, what would you say to us, those that are trying to bring this information out?
Well, first of all, I'm back in Chicago to validate you. I'm not really back in Chicago. I'm only back to receive God's people, you and those liking you across this country and across this world, to let you know that you have not been forsaken. See, the whole objective was to disconnect you from being the international you. Always tell the story of when Elijah Muhammad had the Muhammad Speak program. He had the newspaper with two hands reaching across the globe, one coming out of Africa and one coming out of America. Well, those two hands are you and me, that we're reaching back and grabbing hold of each other. See, my successes are your successes. My introduction into Israel is your introduction into Israel. You don't have to, if you're an American, you ain't got to get on no Mayflower ship to come to America now. You get the benefit of those that came over on the Mayflower. You don't have to be around in 1776 to say you're a citizen. You get the benefit of being born in America as a citizen. I'm saying, because you have been spiritually born of spirit and fire as a Hebrew, I automatically receive you back into the original African Hebrew Israelite nation of Jerusalem. Because all of the political work that we've done in America and in Africa, the Yehuda nation is beneficiary and signatory to it. So I signed on your behalf before you came into existence, and you are grandfathered in based on that.
Wow. That's a privilege, you know, an honor, even being from, you know, the lineage that we are from, you know, moving forward and moving ahead is really an honor, you know, that we had trailblazers to go before us and set the stage, because a lot of our brothers and sisters are cynical about the whole movement to Israel. They've said things like, you know, it wasn't time yet. They went over there, and y'all didn't tell them to go over there. It wasn't time yet. But I beg to differ, because no one understands the mind of the Most High. And he always does things decent and in order, and he works within the governments that he has established himself in the earth to see you move the way that you did, and allowed us to move in the direction that we move, that we're moving in now, is very, very, very powerful. And the fact that you have staked the claim and have established us as a people already there means that there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. It's already been done, and we're talking to a person that has done it, and we hear the wisdom in your voice and all of the things. So it's an honor, as Brother Adonai said, to even be on the phone with you and you being able to give us this firsthand information. But can you kind of summarize some of the things that you had to endure to make this possible, with other governments and trials and tribulations that you may have gone through?
Absolutely. I'll start with me. But I'll start with the great men and women that went into Israel in 1968-69, straight out of West Africa, led by Brother Ben-Ami, who was determined to return back to the people, and by the elders such as Elder Rabbis in Chicago and out of Mississippi. And then I give respect and credence to the Church of God in Christ under Bishop Mason, who, like you read, like was read about South Africa, the Church of the Saints. he was the first one to announce to the Christian blacks that they were descendants of the biblical Israelites, and that's how it became the Church of God in Christ. So as a lot of history that you don't know, see, you always mention your Christian background, but we wasn't Christians like that because as soon as you heard the truth, you moved to the next level. I always see our introduction into Christianity as kindergarten, but we were on our way to that PhD. As you continued to get additional information and insight from the Holy Spirit, you upped your understanding and your work. So I just want the brothers and sisters listening and the men and women that's listening to understand that we are the next phase, when I say we, the merging of our minds, bodies, spirits, and energies are the next phase of the redemption of the people. See, we've been looking at this from a religious church mentality only, so therefore you can never look at it nationalistic. That's why I loved you and the brothers and sisters in the Yehuda Nation, because it was all about nationalism. Anybody can differ with an opinion when you said clearly that everybody got all kinds of beliefs. So we ain't talking about beliefs. We're talking about the fundamental prophetic word that said, O ye nation undesired, there's going to be a time when you come back. And that's why I was saying the 49th chapter of Genesis says, unto Judah shall the gathering of the people be. That's and right. What would be better vehicle than the Judah nation, than the Yehuda nation, being in the vanguard? That's why when you offered to be a vehicle to process those new brothers and sisters that want to get a greater understanding and move into the Holy Land at this time, I welcome it with open arms, with no agenda but to help you deliver what you said to the people over these 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's a beautiful relationship. I can see it forming into something beautiful, but the most beautiful thing about it is that the Most High did it. It wasn't anything of our own. We didn't seek you out. We didn't even know we were going to be able to, we were going to be even given the opportunity, but the fact that, you know, the Most High put it up on your heart to contact us and to let us know, absolutely, whatever we are able to do, we will do, because we see this thing coming together, and it's almost scary, but you know one thing about his word, it will not come back void. It is going to accomplish that thing which it sets out to do, and he promised us that we were on our way back home, and the beautiful thing about that is we can see it unfolding right in front of our eyes, and that he has unveiled the royal house of King Dawid to the people, and that promise and our covenant that we have with the Most High is also being upheld, and we're moving forward and forging ahead to be able to see this in our lifetime. And I Brother Donia, do you have anything you want to say?
Of course I do. No, I just want to say, man, everything that you say, we say it every week on Yom Rishon. We say the same thing. And one thing that I, you know, like I said, man, I'm overwhelmed because we expected to go back into the land and we expected things to happen, but we didn't expect it to happen this fast. And we didn't expect it to come from Asiel Ben Yehuda. You understand? We just wanted to try to build and bring the people together, and I knew gradually it would all formulate. Because the Almighty is true to his word. He don't never come back void. He say what he mean, and he mean what he say. You understand? Yeah. So I'm just elated and overwhelmed. You guys was talking, you reiterating everything that I say. You understand? That I know that the Almighty is great. Great beyond compare. There's nobody that stands with him. You understand? Well, so we just got to, you know, we just got to do what he say we do, say he can do. We can't get mad at one another because they don't understand. Everybody seeks his own level. You understand? At certain times, certain things are going to come to us, man. Right now, this understanding didn't just pop on me. I had to go through the trials and tribulations of learning and understanding and researching, you understand, and wanting to know. That was the key that you want to know. Something is fishy going on here, and I needed to know about it. I couldn't rest easy not knowing, you understand, why these things were going on in my life or in our lives, you understand, and why those people hate us so much. I had to find that out. I had to want to find that out. And the Almighty will open up a vehicle for you. He will let you know. And then you have the opportunity to do what you want with it, but he will definitely let you know if you want to know. Hallelujah.
Well, Brother Adonai, the reason that these words resonate in you, I ain't me. See, I've been telling people for 40 years that Prince Haziel is not an individual person. Prince Haziel is the collection of the people of Yah. The reason that I'm speaking to your heart, I got your heart. The reason that I'm speaking my sister's words is I'm her brother. Yeah. The reason that we connect is because we desire to be servants to our God and our people. I understand the pain of many brothers and sisters who've been disappointed by leaders and leadership over the 400 years in this land and the thousands of years in our own land. We saw time after time, as great as David was a king,
yeah,
he erred. As yeah, great as Saul was chosen to be the first king, he erred. Mm-hmm. But if we read what the mouth of God said through the prophet, he said, but don't take a king, because this is what he's going to do. He said, you got a king. I'm your king. My words can be verified. The way you know if somebody came from me, that what they speak must come to pass. When I told the people I was an ambassador for God and I came to redeem his people, I got deported. I'm going back to that question you asked. I got deported from Israel in 1973. And they told me not to ever come back to Israel. They would kill me if I did. I went back to Israel 22 times after they deported me because I wasn't going to be stopped. Why? Because the fiery furnace didn't stop me. Excuse me. The lion's den didn't stop me. The Red Sea didn't stop me. And on and on. And I'm saying, we're not going to stop because somebody say something negative about me or you or about what we're doing and we think we somebody. I'm trying to make myself somebody. Well, I certainly am trying to make myself somebody, a servant to my God and my people.
Hallelujah.
So in 1973, after the deportation, then in 1985, I was arrested and facing 364 years in prison for doing what I was instructed by God to do, deliver and set the captives free. Now listen to the word that the Creator used through his prophet, the captive. That means if somebody's a captive, that means somebody and something is holding them. And if America was holding captives and I was to set the captives free, and America has some laws about God's people being held in captivity, I either had to submit to that they had the authority over the people or trust that the word of God that came to me to set the captives free. Well, they brought me into federal court, and I was facing 365 years. I had the longest trial in the history of the D.C. Circuit. We were called the Hebrew Nine. It was nine of us on trial, including a sister with a spirit like yours, Nina, standing there on behalf of the Hebrew women. Her name is Kilkiah. These kind of spirits was facing life in prison. The main person they wanted was me because I'm the voice leading the people out of America back home. They asked me, Prince, what you going to do? I said, stand for Yah. I don't have to do anything. But I want y'all to hear this story. Not only did they deny me bond, as I said the other day, but we were like Daniel, me and Azariah and Ananiah, Mishael. We had to have a special diet. They tried to give us the king's diet, and we would eat anything. We said, we can't eat anything. They said, but you can't get no vegan diet in prison. But just like Joseph, God gave me favor with the prison system.
I know that's right.
I had a late congressman, Merv Damily, out of California, who was my brother and my friend until he passed, said to me, what do you need? I said, I need to be able to get my food into the prison to eat. So he gave me favor with the warden's secretary. And the warden's secretary started first bringing me food, me personally, into the jail with her lunch. Secondly, the psychologist, an African-American woman, would call me up during her sessions, and I would tell her about how to help heal our people in the prison. And God gave me favor with her. Then a Muslim imam, Imam Baif, may God be pleased with him forever, for extending his hand to a brother, and I told him that we are the sons of Abraham. Abraham's first son was by an Egyptian woman, and his second son was by a Hebrew woman, Sarah. I said, so we're brothers. We ain't cousins. Brothers, same father, same spiritual mother. Because remember, the word in Hebrew for land, earth, is aduma, which is feminine, which is what God made masculine, Adam, out of the dust of the earth.
Hallelujah.
So yeah. The feminine woman produced the masculine man.
Yes.
Then the Creator puts man to sleep, Adam, and reaches inside of him and make a woman fit for him.
Yes.
As I said the other night, and I will continue to say, that women like y'all that's on this listening, y'all come out of us. So any flaw that y'all got is in us. It ain't in y'all. So I ain't blaming you for nothing. I'm going to confess to the Creator, I wasn't listening to you right when you said don't eat of those trees. And I tried to be clever and send my woman out there so I could say, Lord, the woman you gave me did that. She tricked me. She deceived me. No, I'm taking full responsibility for what happened. And so I did the confession of Adam and the acquittal of Eve as a journey back to our Creator. So I'm saying all of these things, my sister, is what I've had to go through in order to get to you on this telephone and to the brothers and sisters who are listening across the world, that what we are doing is of the Creator. He's not through with us yet. We're going to still make some mistakes on our way to perfection. But guess what? If you get 90, you got an A. I asked a brother last week about Michael Jordan. I said, what was his percentage points? He said he shot less. He made less than 50%. I said, but he's still the greatest ball player ever with shooting less than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to get 100% to be the greatest. And that's what we're talking about now. No, all of the Hebrews ain't right, and we ain't did what we're supposed to do. On the way to perfection, I'm still part flesh and blood. So I made mistakes, but I'm confessing, just like it said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves And I'm saying to everybody that's listening that know me or have met me, that if I've ever done anything to offend you, knowingly or unknowingly, I'm apologizing today in the midst of all the people so that they will know that if you come and tell me that I did something to you, I will acknowledge it, I won't debate it, I will say I won't do it, and I'm sorry that it happened. And if you want an explanation, I'll put it in perspective, because when I was a child, I thought as a child, but I'm no longer a child. I'm getting on up there to be an adult, strong enough to acknowledge my flaws. So after that 1973 deportation, I was in America and in Africa the rest of those years until 1985 when the trial comes. That trial made me strong. Everybody was worried about, we ain't gonna never get out of jail. God ain't with us because we in jail. I said, well, was God with the brothers when they went in the fiery furnace? It seemed to me that God put them in there.
Yes.
Because they certainly didn't volunteer and go in there.
That is correct.
So, was God with them when they was in the lion's den? I said, God is with us. I said, I know you don't see it, but I see it. Now, when the trial was overturned in 40 days, yes, the day that we got sentenced to 12 years, 18 years, and I got sentenced to 30 years along with three other brothers, life in prison. I called them 5 minutes after that sentence was given and told them, in 9 months, you're going to be back on the street. They said, we just got 30 years. I said, the Spirit told me to say it to you, and if 9 months come and you're not on the street, then you know God didn't tell me that, and you don't have to listen to nothing else I say ever. July 7, 1987. Listen to them sevens now. We walked out of that jail. That wasn't me talking. That was the Spirit of the Most High God.
Yes,
yes. Said, speak to my people. And I spoke to them. And another thing happened. 30 more people who was in jail, God gave me the power to get them all out of jail. They had been sentenced, unheard of in the history of American Jewish prudence. And it's on record today. It can be checked. So, tested? Absolutely, we've been tested. In the land and out of the land.
And you were saying that you had had guns held up to your head as well?
Put to my head in a coup d'etat in Liberia, 1980. The people in Liberia, the saints in Liberia, the Hebrews in Liberia were under attack. And I went to check on the brothers and sisters like 3 or 4 miles from where I lived. We had to walk, just so I could check and see if they were okay. On the way back, soldiers saw me drunk with power and alcohol, stopped me, hit me with the rifle, told me to get on my knees, and pointed it at my head. I looked him in the eye and said, my God will not let me die on no dirt road in Africa like this. He dropped his rifle and walked back to the car without saying a word.
Wow. You know, and I'd like to say something, you know, because when we had our business meeting, of course, we had that this week, you know, a lot of people found out about the meeting, and some people were pro and some people were con. They weren't, and some people were against it and some people weren't. And as I, not from the nation of Yehuda, but outsiders, you know, my response is, you know,
when you have a person that has been on the battlefield for as long as you have, there are casualties. You know, and one of the brothers, I think, from your organization made it very clear to me, you know, when you come out of war, you're going to have some casualties. You know, and I think, quote, unquote, he said you can't war and grow at the same time. You know, that there's a time when you're going to fight, and then there's a time when you're going to grow. And when you have a person like you and the people that have been warring with you have laid the foundation, and the groundwork is already laid, and then you've done the work, you know, because the work doesn't have to be redone again. It's already been done. It's time now to roll up our sleeves, come out of the fear, and let's start building as a nation. So, you know, as I explained to the people that were against or had issues because of some things maybe previous in Dimona or things that have happened, you know, we have to leave the past the past. It's time to move forward and forge toward the future, because with a person with your wisdom, and with wisdom comes trial and error, because you don't learn how not to do something unless you've had the experience of knowing that you should not do that thing. And that's what wisdom is, the experience of knowing what not to do. Once you have that wisdom, we cannot afford to discard it, because we need it. We haven't been where you've been, and if someone has already been there, why reinvent the wheel, basically? So I think, you know, that it is a privilege and an honor, I know it is, that the Most High sent you our way with the wisdom that you have, because we have all of the zeal and the tenacity and the bloodline and all of the things that we need to go forward, but wisdom has to be the principal thing. So we're happy that, you know, you're with us and helping us to get where we have. Now, we have a caller on the line, and I want to let that person in. Call area code 215. Go ahead. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Prince Asiel Ben Israel? They've been holding for a minute, so their phone may be on mute. Area code 215-892. Are you there? Hello? We'll leave their mic open in the event that they want to ask a question, because a lot of times they put their phone on mute. But so, Brother Donia, do you have any remarks? Maybe his phone is on mute too. Well, we're gonna just keep talking, because I have a lot of things. So, for the population of Dimona, the people who have experienced the things that they've experienced, what advice would you give them today, with the knowledge that you have?
First thing, I would say I love them without exception. I was grateful for those first pioneers that came out of Liberia and settled in Dimona in those 3-4 apartments and received everybody in those early years, that their struggle had not been in vain, and that their belief in the God of Israel had not been in vain. And all they got to do is continue to keep the faith, humble themselves, and pray for the redemption of God's people. And they're going to see the desires that was given to them to be a free, liberated people. I got sons and daughters in Dimona. I got children in Dimona right now. So I'm still a part of Dimona's people. So there's no issue about me and Dimona. Somebody may want to make it an issue, but that's on them. That ain't on me.
Okay. And let me ask you this question, and I really mean from a man's perspective. What would you say to the men here in America, the Hebrew brothers here in America, that are afraid to step up? Because, you know, I have the spirit of my forefathers and my family, you know, and one thing, we weren't afraid to do anything that we needed to do. And because we're girls, and I explained to you before, we have a family full of girls, because we're girls and we've gone through the things that we've gone through, and we have established the royal house of King Dawid, when you run into the brothers, and I mean these are brothers who know their Hebrew, they wear the garb, they have the whole 9 yards, but when it comes to stepping up and being out there. I see a fear that's almost embarrassing, you know, to the point where they're afraid. I mean, they say they love Yah, and they keep all of some the laws, and they keep the holy days. They do all of it. But when it comes to stepping up, there's a fear there. What would you say to them right now, knowing what you've gone through to make this happen?
I would say to them what history said when it was time for Gideon to fight a battle and the thousands of men came out. They had an elimination process. Those who just got married, you drop out. Those who are afraid, you drop out, because there are some people that are just afraid. And then final test was those go down to drink that water and lap it up like a dog. And it was only 300 that was willing to do that, to put themselves into humiliation. When it was time for me to stand against the most powerful beast, you know, the scriptures say, who can make war against the beast? You got to remember, this beast is described as having 10 heads and 7 crowns, you know. And when he spoke, a third of the stars of heaven came down with his tail, you know, in Revelations. So I understand, but they ain't as strong as the God of Israel, because he says in Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
Hallelujah.
And when they come out of that land, out of that mindset, you got to remember, the SEALs in American military, they take on anybody, no matter who you are and where you are and what you're talking about. They coming in to get you. There are angels in the army of the God of Israel that's going to go and do the job. And I don't expect them all to do that. That's why I told him Prince Azazel is not an individual. He's a collection of those spirits just like you. I'm you in masculine form. So you ain't got to worry about no brothers. You already a brother in the spirit, and I take that spirit from you and fight on your behalf. And the rest of them that don't want to fight, it's okay. We'll get back to you later.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adoniah.
Brother Adoniah, go right ahead.
Cain, see, I always say that the Almighty is the true and living Yah, and he is the one that brings the spirit into any, all of us at any given time. Some of these brothers right here won't stand up, you understand, on the strength that maybe they waiting for somebody else to stand up. See, most of us here will stand up if they take pride in somebody else. And if that person stand up, then they'll rush to the post. But if they don't take stand up, you understand, then they're going to sit back and come up with all kinds of excuses. One excuse that I've always heard, you understand, is that it's not the time yet. You understand?
Let me say something about that. We said that a couple of times.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
If I got the watch and I know what time I'm supposed to do something, what am I doing asking you, is it time yet?
Yeah.
So whoever say it ain't time, I don't know what watch they're using, but I don't know what needs to happen to our people for them to be activated to go on behalf of saving their people. When I saw that it was time, I was asked that question early on. How do you know it's time? Say, because, Prince, we're doing it. And that was the right answer for me. And I went and did it. I couldn't get into Israel when I went there. They stopped me at the airport and told me you couldn't come in. I kept going back and forth, and I went in. After I got out of prison, I didn't go back in no sneak way. I went in as Prince Asiel Ben Israel. of the African Hebrew Israelite community of Jerusalem. And I walked straight through the door as myself.
Yeah.
And I brought all the people that's up there through the door.
Yeah.
And still doing it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on the phone with y'all. Because the great God gives us access. If my people who are called by my name, then he with you.
Yeah. See, one other reason why, or a couple of more I want to say, is that, you understand, they feel that, see what happens is they become westernized, you understand, and they, under the misconception, you understand, they got all of these things, toys and fantasies that this place here offers them, you understand, and they don't want to lose it. That's just some of them. Some of them are just going to be lazy and not going to do nothing, let somebody else do something, you understand. There's got to be a point in our time, you know, that we set. See, we got to understand that the Almighty will show us favor if we turn to him and with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, he will protect us, and so that we don't have to be afraid. A lot of us are just totally afraid. A lot of us are just westernized. A lot of us, you understand, think that that the Almighty said, see, if they read in the scriptures where the Almighty said he was going to bring us back home, they think it's going to be a magical, mystical moment. You understand? Or we wake up and we're going to be in the land. That's not going to happen. And that's what I say all the time. It takes an effort on our part. We have to realize that we forsook, that our forefathers forsook the Creator. You understand? You know, they stepped all over his integrity. You understand? When they went and got other gods. They didn't do that just one time. They did it several times. You understand? So we have to feel the punishment, so to speak, you understand, and we have to let the Almighty know that we're ready to come back home by what we do, not what we say. Action speaks louder than words. Hallelujah.
Brother Adonia, you see, those are reasons not to do things. Those are not reasons to do things.
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to always elucidate what are the reasons to do it. And I see the condition of our people. And the formula to getting it done is simple. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and not be arrogant or afraid, because he teaches us, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. And these are the things that will activate the power to do what we want to do done. Now, we've been in Israel 46 years. In this 46 years, they tried to throw us out. They tried to starve us out. They tried to burn us out. They tried to jail us out and all of that. My problem was when we started doing it to ourselves, it became a problem for me to continue that. And so when I decided to step away, I stepped away because I wanted to make a difference between what I was doing and what anybody else was doing. And I've been blessed from day one to achieve everything that we set out to do, and that was to continue to lay the foundation. And guess what happened? You come into my life, my beautiful sister then come into my life, and we now building on the foundation that had been laid 40-something years ago. And that's where we are, and we're going to keep on building. Because I couldn't have a better brother than you, because I know just hearing your voice and your spirit, you represent 10 or 20 men.
That is correct.
And so two or more gathered in Yah's name, he said, I'm there too. So between me and you, we can hold off an army.
That is correct.
Because when me and Nasi Amiel did what we did, and Nasi El Ram did what we did, and Eli and I did what we did, we winning. We winning. God don't need no lot of people to do nothing for him.
No.
So we ain't looking for nobody that don't want to come.
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be a number that no man can number that's going to join the forces after everything is settled.
That is correct.
But that queen that started the nation, the descendant of King David, we know she's going to produce real women. I heard him on the phone the other day because like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't worried. I ain't worried at all about the brothers because y'all coming.
Yeah.
Why? Because I came. And I didn't have no intention of leaving the comfort of Chicago, a house, a job, or whatever I thought I had. I left and slept on the floor on a rollaway bed in southern Judea in 95-degree weather in dry heat and fasted with nothing to eat and nothing to drink. So I'm all right. Caught malaria. All of these things on the way back to Yah.
Hallelujah.
So we got to do what's in our hearts right now. And I'm with you.
And I'm with you.
Thank
I want you,
you
to, I want you to know that.
Let me say this too.
Truly with you.
And asked of me the other day about Brother Yehoshua. Yehoshua and I have talked on the phone several times, and I have nothing but respect for his work that he's done those 10 or 12 years that he's been there, identifying some of the ancient sites, so that we can be reconnected with the things and the antiquity. So he has my respect at the highest level. Sisters that have come to Israel that may disagree with me, I have nothing but respect for whatever they're doing. But I don't make nothing personal. I don't take nothing personal. Whatever they feel, I know I brought enough women over there that you can find more women that love me than don't. I bet you that.
One thing I want you to understand is that I appreciate everything that you guys have done and what you went through, you understand? And you only inspired me, and you only let me know that we got hope now. There's some hope
indeed.
Here.
Indeed. Not only do we have hope.
Yeah.
It's alive.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I wanted to try to set a precedence here, you understand, for my children. You understand? I got grandchildren, man. I don't want them stuck in this mess here, man. I'm telling you, this is a mess, and I'm sick of it. You
let
understand
what
I'm? One thing that I want to say is that I'm trying to get ready to get out of here. You understand? But I just can't go by myself. I have to pave the way for somebody else also. You understand? So I'm trying to set things up, you understand, with the nation of Yehuda. I don't know everything, you understand? I only see the big picture, you understand? Yaina and her sisters and a bunch of other folks, you understand, they know the intricate parts, you understand? And I'm willing to work at any level, you understand? I want to get this done. I'm sick of this here for our folks, man. I look at these guys, man, and how they're going through what they're going through. See, if we set up things, you understand, them people will come, you understand? Just like that thing with Kevin Costner. He said, if you build it, they will come. If we set it up, they'll come. Ain't no doubt about it. Hallelujah.
Field of Dreams. You're talking about the movie, The Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
We built it, and the people are coming.
That's what I'm talking about.
Whitney Houston came, Barry White came, Stevie Wonder came, and I can go on down the list of the people that have already come. See, the objective is you ain't trying to get everybody.
Yeah, that's correct.
The pure in heart is who we going after. We ain't trying to transport those who are problems. We did that.
I know that.
So I'm with you, Brother Adam. I'm with you. Please stay with the sisters and help them And you be the last one to close the door. Let all them get in front of you.
That is correct.
Yep. So I'm with you. And I'm standing there with you.
That is correct. That's where I'm at with
that. That's why I came back to America, so that I could be here helping my people get out of here. I was out of here.
Yeah.
I chose to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the job is never done until the job is done.
And that's what we're doing. We're the job doers. My sister.
Hallelujah. Praise the Almighty.
I have one more thing I want to say. Well, I have a lot of things I want to say, but you brought up Bishop Mason. And we have a lot of Christians that are on this line right now that are pastors. Some of them are deacons. Some of them are just in the Christian church, period. And Bishop Mason was very well, he was a founder of the Church of God in Christ. Would you please let them know again that he understood that we were the Hebrew Israelites? Because I have a lot of friends that are still in Christianity. They're still in the Church of God in Christ. It is the largest denomination of black churches in America. And when I bring this truth to them, you know, it's like, it sounds good, they'll agree with it, but they'll go back to these young pastors who really don't know the history of Bishop Mason, because I didn't even know that Bishop Mason knew we were Hebrews. The pastors, because they don't know the history, steals it away from the people that we have been trying to explain it to. So could you please elaborate a little bit more? Because as soon as this is over, I'm emailing this out to every pastor that I know, every deacon, every apostle, every prophet, everybody that I know in Christianity.
Well, let me give you some update on the Church of God in Christ. I met with the bishop of the jurisdiction in Illinois, and I'm meeting with the bishop, the international bishop, and I'm taking them to Israel in September.
Hallelujah.
And I'm letting those know that I intend to help build a permanent prayer palace that Bishop Mason inspired for God in the Holy Land. And Bishop Norman Quick out of New York, son, is in Israel. And the bishop called me when his son first became a Hebrew and said, "Prince, this is my only son. I wanted to pass on to him the church." I said, "Didn't you want to pass on to him the real church, and that is the land where he can send the word of God out from?" I said, "He's a priest. He is one of the Kohanim now. So your prayers were answered." And Bishop Quick went into meetings with me, with the heads of all of the Jewish organizations in New York, and made it possible for me in the early days to get that kind of respect. I just met with a Christian preacher who spoke to 14,000 Jews at the AIPAC meeting in Washington back in March. And he has been chosen to be a representative. He and I are working hand in hand together. I met with several of the bishops because we're planning these trips to expose Christianity. At 8.6 members of the Church of God in Christ, I'm now building a basis where they will be able to come up to Jerusalem and get their health restored.
Hallelujah.
Get their spirit re-energized and make plans to live their life out on the Jordan River, at the Sea of Galilee, and in
Hallelujah.
The land of Judea. I'm doing that right now with the Church of God in Christ.
Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. So then you have been in contact with Bishop Charles E. Blake then, correct?
Of course.
Wonderful.
Through his bishop, I met Bishop Blake a long time ago, but right now I'm dealing with the bishops in the area that we're talking to, and they're reporting to Bishop Blake.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you know what? This is prophetic, because the church is beginning to wake up.
you know, we would love to have the opportunity to go up in there, because, you know, I used to preach. So it's all in me. I'm waiting on the Most High to open up the door for me to walk in, and we're going to do it the way we know how to do it, because this is a beautiful time, and we're alive to see it. That's the most beautiful part of it all, is that we're alive. The Most High is moving. And, I tell him all the time that I had a real quiet moment with the Most High one time, and he told me something that I'll never forget. The Spirit whispered it in my ear. He said, power is always silent. It's always silent. The real powerful people, you don't ever know them. They're in the background. It's real quiet. By the time the Most High moves in, he's doing stuff through you that we didn't even know anything about. And he's moving in areas and channels and in denominations in the Christian church that a whole lot of people don't know. And people make assumptions, and they say things prematurely out of their mouth. When you don't have all the facts, it's best to just be quiet, because we don't know this thing is about to blow up. And it's confirmation that I've been telling people over and over and over again that the church is getting ready to wake up. And when they do, it's going to be the most powerful moment in history. And you just confirmed that for me. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You know, so let me ask the audience. We have a lot of people on the line and people in the chat line. If you have a question for Prince ICL Ben Israel, please push 1. We would love to hear from you if you want to make a comment. Anyone have anything to say? Because a lot of times, Prince, I see our audience just listens. Sometimes we get a response out of them, but they're dedicated, they're committed, and they're listening. And like I said, this information is so powerful that we just didn't even realize, you know, the things that are happening in Israel and in the United States and all over the world. So all of the countries that you have been in, those leaders, are you able to reach back to those leaders, or do you still have relationships with them?
Absolutely. Absolutely, relationships, and reach back and go in right now.
Wow, that is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So then let me ask you this. What about the temple? Because I know there's questions about this third temple going up. Do you think that it's going to happen, and do you have any insight on that at all?
Yeah, I do. You see, the real temple is what Yeshua said. The temple of God is you. We're building the temple right now with Adonijah and you and all of the brothers and sisters calling in. Those are the real bricks that's going to build the temple. He said that old temple made out of stone, you tear it down. And he said he can build it up in 3 days. They said, but it took 60 years to build that. They didn't even understand what he was saying. You're the real temple. I'm building you the temple right now with you.
Yes, sir.
The Yehuda nation.
Yes, sir.
We're building it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you.
Don't look past you and the brothers and sisters with you. You're building the temple right now.
Yes, sir, I agree.
I'm a master builder.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So then my next question then would be, are we to disregard the temple that the Judaism, the Jews, the I call them the fake Jews, that they are talking about building right now? Are they doing that, or is that just something that they're just talking about?
Again, you see, we're not talking about brick and mortar.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about a people.
Yes, sir.
God didn't give us a building. He gave a people
to be the
light. It's all kind of buildings across the world, supposedly representing God. But look at the people.
True. That's true.
The people... I'm in such pain about the people. No, my sister, you're building the temple. Your strength.
Yes, sir.
Your faith, your commitment is letting everybody know to bring their brick themselves and be a part of this great wall that's going up. We're building the temple during these troublous times.
Okay. I agree with you 100%, because we're the building. That is what the scriptures say. We're the building. You're absolutely right. Absolutely, 100%. I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%.
And I know who you are. You're one of the chief cornerstones in this building going up.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, absolutely. Powerful. It's just powerful. All of it is just powerful. I mean, I'm at a loss for words right now, because I'm trying to ask all of the questions that I know other people want to ask, but they may not have the nerve to ask, you know, in terms of what direction that we're going in and how we're going to get there. So let's talk about citizenship. If people wanted to go to Israel right now and just go over there to live and to be a citizen of that land, would it be a problem for them to do that?
No. See, every nation, that's one of the things that America is talking about right now, and that's the Mexican or the Hispanic community trying to become citizens in America, right?
Yes.
That's a campaign issue that won't go away and can't go away. The conservative wing of America got one approach. The liberal wing got another approach. But then there's the laws that have already passed on how you do it. Now, there are the prophetic laws that govern what you're going to do, and there's the legal laws of the state of Israel on how to do it. And then there's the religious laws on how to become citizens of that land. It's just a matter of which route you want to take. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And people can take whatever route they want. But those who know the prophetic route are going to do it the prophetic way. Those who want to go the religious way, going to go the religious way. Ain't nothing stopping them. Ain't nothing stopping them from going the political way or the religious way. But the prophetic way has to be clearly understood if they understand the prophetic way of how to do it. It ain't hard no more. The hard part was getting people to recognize that you were the descendants of that land. They've done that. But if you become a citizen of America, there's some things you can do and some things you can't do as
true.
A citizen.
That's true.
That's just that simple.
That's true. Okay, now let me ask you this, because at one point we were joining with another Hebrew nation that was talking about sovereignty. And they felt that the only way that we could gain the political respect that we needed and the ability to be able to move in and out of international channels and to deal with international affairs, because we were all 14th Amendment slaves, we were not considered to be citizens of the United States, was to claim our sovereignty and to actually become sovereign citizens. What do you think about that movement, that whole movement itself as it pertains to us as a people?
Well, I keep saying, I became a sovereign. I left America.
Right.
America didn't try to stop me from leaving. Only reason that them black people don't leave America, they don't want to leave. Ain't no black people being held in America now. None. They volunteer slaves now. Oh, I'll take $10 an hour. I'll take 12. I'll take 8. I'll take welfare and stay here. Ain't nobody say you got to stay here and stay on welfare or stay here and be discriminated against or stay here and be the last hide in the first fire. Nobody telling you that. You're free to make your decision. Do what you want to do. You want to serve the God of Israel? Get up and go serve the God of Israel. Well, the Jews won't let me. The Jews ain't stopping you from serving the God of Israel. anybody from doing anything. We got to grow up.
Shalom. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my question is there anything set up now, if I was to come to Israel, so that I could set up a business and run a business, and, you know, is there land that we could buy, you understand, to set up? If we have to buy it, can we buy it, you understand?
Absolutely.
And, you know, to set up so that we can build industry.
Absolutely. The answer to all those questions is yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The heavy lifting been done, Brother Adonir.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, when we allow people to, you know, to sign up and get their visas and et cetera.
Oh, no. Here's what you do. Here's what I'm recommending you do.
That's what I'm talking about.
You get on a plane. You let me know when you get on a plane and want to get on a plane, all of those questions you can see and hear for yourself firsthand. And then you come back and you'll be able to testify that you know that it's true what you're saying. Because you did it.
That is my intent. My intent is to come to Jerusalem. Within the next 3 years, if it be the will of the Almighty, and if he see fit for me to get there, I want to go there for at least 3 months so I can see what I can live with and what I can't. Hallelujah.
Well, there's what I'm saying, my brother, and this is not a argument with you. I'm saying, who do you want to have made that way for you? If you're not willing to go make a way for somebody in the absence of that.
Well, there is an envoy over there right now. They're supposed to be there until the 20th of the month, and I'm hoping to get a favorable report. But I've never been the person, you understand, to just take people's face value. I've always got to experience stuff myself. You understand what I'm saying? Because what they will accept, I might not want to. Hallelujah.
But what I'm saying is that it depends on what level of development that we want to start at. You know, everybody wants food. But who's willing to grow the food, harvest the food, process the food, manufacture the food, sell the food wholesale, sell the food retail. Everybody wants clothes. Who's willing to the clothes? I'm saying there are various stages of any development. People get in where they fit in.
That's true.
You don't have to go now. I'm just saying those that go now, depending on what they want to see for them to stay, may have to figure out that they got to do it in order for it to be done.
That is correct. Exactly.
And I'm saying those are the ones that need to go. See, I was willing to go with nothing. If it could be barren, and I was willing to build it from nothing. Because I believe that God would give me the mind to build from nothing. And that's where I'm at today. When I heard what y'all were doing with the Yehuda Nation, that's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to nobody that just want to read the Bible and want to talk about
Hallelujah.
That it ain't time yet. Because I got to watch. I know what time it is. It's late. But whatever you want to do, we late.
That is correct.
You know,
like I said, man, I commend you guys, man. You understand? You guys have paved the way. You've been the pioneers here. Now the ball is in our court. you understand, when I say it's in our court, it's time for us to make some kind of preparations, you understand, to do something. My intention is to go to die in Israel, you understand?
No, your intention is to go to Israel to live. We ain't going nowhere to die. You can die here.
Well, understanding.
I understand, but I'm trying to give you a language that will empower you for your children and your grandchildren.
That is correct. Absolutely. That is exactly what I'm talking about. You understand? You know, so that is my intent. You understand? And if it be the will of the Almighty, you understand? And he ain't failed me yet. Anything that I've ever wanted, he's given me.
He ain't gonna fail you. You ain't got to worry about him failing. Look up in the sky tomorrow and see if you see the sun.
If you ask Yaina, she can tell you that the Almighty been with me by the little things that he's shown me and did for me in the short period of time that I've known her.
You know, I don't need to ask her about you. I know who you are.
The Almighty is powerful beyond compare, and he's been with me all my life. Hallelujah.
Who you think I work for? Who you think I work for?
Do you know
what my name means? Asiel. You know what Asiel means?
No, I don't.
It means he whom Yah has created in the image of Yah.
Okay.
Now let me tell you my children's name so you'll know what I come with.
I got a daughter that's in Israel right now today that she went last couple of weeks, man. She's a police officer matter of fact, she's chief of police. You understand? She's in Israel right now, and she's a fact-finding mission for Israel, but she's also working under their governance. You understand? She'll be back in the next week. You understand? So I can get some good information from her. Hallelujah.
Okay, brother, go ahead. I want you to just give the names of your children. Go ahead.
First, my firstborn is Ben Asiel, which meant that I've reproduced myself in the Holy Land. So he is he whom God has created. So the Creator has already given me a duplicate. Then my next son is R.L., means angel of the Lord, and messenger. So God has reproduced that part of me that's a warring angel and a messenger. My next child is Uval, meaning living waters, which means the life of the people have to come through the blood that flows through the body, living waters. My daughter is Moriah, instructed by God, teacher of God's people. I have a daughter that's Ahava, the love of God. I have a daughter, Aliza, the joy of God. And I can go down to tell you that we got these attributes so that we can, and then they have children. Now, my daughter's children born in the land is Chaim, life of God, Roi, shepherd of God, Shalem, perfection of God, and Kemet, the land of God. So I'm saying we're putting it together. These pieces are being put together so that when you come, you're going to see the manifestation of all of those attributes that God has given us in the form of people.
All right. Hallelujah. For those who are just joining us, or those who have been on the line with us, we thank you for joining the Yehuda Project. We are the Blog Talk Show that's affiliated with the Nation of Yehuda. We have a very special guest on the line with us today. His name is Prince Asiel Ben Israel. He is an ambassador for the African American Hebrew Israelites that are actually living in Israel. He is in the United States right now, making some headway here in the States for all of us who are anticipating going back to the Holy Land. And he just made it known to us that he is working together closely with the Church of God in Christ, and gave us some startling information that Bishop Mason,
the founder of the Church of God in Christ, knew that we were the original Hebrew Israelites of the land, and that was something that was well known within those parameters. So this is a beautiful day. He's given us information that we didn't know that we had. And, you know, we just want to just take the time to say for all of you all who are on the line with us, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please feel free to push 1. We have Christians on the line. We have Muslims on the line. We have conscious people who know who they are, semi-conscious and unconscious people that are just curious. They're all on the phone lines, all on the chat line. And we want to open up the opportunity right now for you to ask any question that you may have. The prince has been in Israel for 40 years. He has 40 years experience in this journey, and he's bringing all of his wisdom and resources to us. They have joined with the nation of Yehuda so that we can begin to build, and we appreciate all of the opportunities that we have been given. We have a lot of people that have called in, and Prince, we can go into overtime if it's okay with you. If it's not,
it's okay with me,
yes, sir.
Absolutely okay with me.
Okay, we have another hour after 5:30 if you would like to go into overtime so that we can discuss some more issues as it pertains to us as a people. Because the Christian church, because I come from a family that is predominantly Christian, that's all we've ever known. My uncle was the first one to become conscious as to us being Hebrew Israelite, and he has passed away. But understanding the whole Hebrew Israelite movement is so powerful. If you had to explain this to a Christian right now from the knowledge that you have and the experience that you have, what would you say?
Well, that's easy for me because, like you, we come out of a Christian experience, meaning our families and the people we love, and that's what we were nurtured with. But there were so many contradictions in the theology that it just never quite fit on how we was going to get up in heaven, in the sky. So we had to begin to bring heaven down. Then we had to put Jesus in the proper perspective. When they said Jesus didn't have a father, we knew that there was no way that God created a man without a father with a woman. So we began to research and say, well, how can this make sense spiritually as well as prophetically? And we began to do the research to really put it in the proper perspective. And the first thing we started off by saying, can the same man that enslaved you be the same man to save you? And the answer was no.
Mm.
So we knew that whatever he was teaching us wasn't to free us from him. When we started off from that, we then looked scripturally. Because then that means that God was an if and then God. If you do this, then I will do this. So we look to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy that said the first 14 verses, these are the things that bring about blessings. From 15 to 68, these are the things that bring about curses. And every one of those curses is something that you had to do to bring it about. And when we start eliminating the things that brought curses, we eliminated the curse. And when we start implementing the things that will bring about blessings, we start bringing the blessings back. That's the first thing I say to all my Christian brothers and sisters. Then I ask them, what is your objective for worshiping or serving God? See, in Hebrew, the word for worship is oveid. Oveid means work. Your work is your worship. So the motto of a better world is do the work. That's how you're going to show you worship. You ain't going to say you worship God by saying, I love God. you're going to show you love God by working to bring about God's objectives for his people. So, how long you been in the church, sister? 25 years. What have you in 25 years done for the people of the church? Those become questions. Those become the answers that will determine where you're going to go.
All right.
If we need food, who's going to volunteer to study agriculture? If we need doctors, who's going to volunteer and study medicine? And on and on and on. That's how you're going to build God's kingdom on earth. And then he will give you the spirit, the power, and the might to accomplish it.
All right. Hallelujah. So, Brother Donnie, you have any more questions?
No, man. I appreciate you, brother, you understand, for all the things that you've done. I can't say that enough. You understand?
I appreciate it. And it's fuel for my soul, Brother Donnie, because it's brothers like you over the years that have made me continue to do what I'm doing.
I'd like to say one thing more. See, I've been affiliated with being a Hebrew Israelite for 35 plus years. And this is the first time that I have aligned myself in the last 15 to 20 years with an organization such as the Nation of Yehuda, because I've seen the enthusiasm of wanting to do something. I can't align myself with somebody that just talking about it week to week. That's all we do is we study in the scriptures and that's it. You understand? Or we got these learning houses, and for the last 35 years, that's what they've been. Learning houses, but no action. You understand? So I'm enthused with the fact that we are making some kind of move. And since we collaborating with you with your organization, the Better World. You understand? That's prophetic to me. You understand? It's making a conscious effort. After all that we've learned, we can make a conscious decision to do something. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah. We have a caller, area code 773. Let me go ahead and get them on the air. Area code 773, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I have been enjoying the program immensely. This is Prince Amiel.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Everybody. But there's a couple of things. The first thing I want to do is, Brother Adonai and Sister Yaina, when we were talking about the names,
yes, sir.
We want to make sure that our people understand how connected we are. So we need for you all to give the definition of your names.
Sure. My name is Yaina, which means Ina in the Hebrew is renewer. So I'm Yah's renewer. That's the name that the Most High gave me. I didn't have the pleasure of picking my own name. I was given this name. So my name is Yaina Yisrael, which I am considered to be the renewer, I guess, for this time.
Now, let me show you something prophetic. Prince, now, when we move to the next level of the development of the nation and into a better world, what was the terminology you used for the next phase?
We talked about the renewal, or we talked about tikkun, to repair, to renew what we had come through.
Wow.
Tikkunim. So I want you to see the beauty of Yah and the language of Yah, because the language of Yah is a language of action. It's a language of connection. And you know that the in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Avinu Yahweh Echad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So when it translated, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, our Lord is one. So the word for one is Echad, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But when you translate it back, it doesn't translate into a number.
No, sir.
When you translate it back, it translates into unity or
yes,
synergy. So I wanted to give the definition of your name so you could see the ultimate reality of Yah played out in this synergy.
Wow. Wow.
Tikkunim. All right, Brother Adonai, we want you to give your the definition of your name.
Yah is my father. My Abba.
Yah is my Abba. Yah is father. And in the African American tradition, the American tradition, this is Father's Day.
Yes,
On this day, you have made the ultimate connection as a father, and as a father speaking to Prince Asiel, who has been the father for the building of the nation. And so, when we look at that, a father's position is to guide and to protect the family. Correct?
That is correct.
And that's your spirit, ain't it? Huh?
That, who, Adonia? You talking about me?
Yeah, I'm
saying
that's
that
your
is
spirit.
Correct.
Right. So it's time for the fathers. It's time for the fathers to get up. We were talking earlier about the brothers, you know, who are inactive at this point in time. The only thing we can say to you is get in the game.
No.
So come on in. The water's fine. And so, as it relates to that, I wanted our beloved Prince to elucidate, because we were talking about farming and we were talking about food. The Meharry Institute in Tennessee, it's a medical institution. They did a study on the African Hebrew Israelite nation, the community in Dimona. And they did a study for 2 years. And the reason why they studied us is because we were extremely health conscious, and they had been hearing that we had some major breakthroughs as it relates to health. Now, when the prince was talking about the farming is not just important as it relates to just eating, but it's important in sustaining ourselves and developing ourselves in control of our health. So I want the prince to speak to that if he could.
You see, one of the goals of America is the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. One of the things that we did when we started to rebuild was we needed to know how to get longevity, how we needed to get good health back in the midst of us. So when we went to the book of Genesis and started where God was separating the light from the dark, he needed to make a new male and female. And then, right after Genesis 1 and 26, in Genesis 1 and 29, he gave them the diet for that new body. Well, out of the dust of the earth, we know that the body is made up of all of the elements that's in the earth, whether it be gold, zinc, copper, steel. All of these are in the human body. And the body deteriorates because most people find out they got a lack of iron, so their blood is weak, lack of calcium, and on and on and on. So I was able to meet health practitioners, and the very good friend of mine is the head of the Cook County Health Association, and it's the second largest health institution in America, second only to New York. He was a surgeon of urology, and he came to see me one day and said, "Prince, I cannot take it anymore. I can't cut on another black man because it's not solving the problem." He's a urologist by profession. I told him to go to Israel and stay in my home for a week. He came back, and he realized, just like Yeshua said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mind and the mouth of God. And since that time, he has taken on the task of food is medicine. I'm saying that to say that when Meharry Institute came up and did that study, they realized that we were not degenerating like black Americans, and we were not dying like black Americans or suffering like Africans throughout the world, that we had tapped back into a beginning of the restoration of our health.
So do you equate that to being a vegetarian?
No. I equate that to being spiritually fed again, trusting in the spirit of the living God. And then it's like a car. All cars can't use regular gas. Some cars have to use super gas. Some cars have to use diesel gas. The vegan diet is for those of us who need the highest level diet in the conscious spiritual world, and that's what that is. But it is our spirit that we've tapped back into the source of Yah, meaning truth. Know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you and keep you free. That's what I attribute it to.
Hallelujah.
The brain only live off of truth. Lies deteriorate the brain. And that's why
true.
People die quickly, because they've been eating lies all of their life. A white man coming down the chimney. A bunny laying eggs. Witches on Halloween. These are all of the holidays that we celebrate. When we scripturally were to celebrate holy days, special days unto Yah, not holidays.
All right. Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, there are people who, though, in our nation that do eat meat, and they are meat eaters. Do you think that has anything to do with their health issues?
Well, let's do it from a scientific point of view. Every day, 1,400 people die from a heart attack. Every single day in America. And another 1,400 people die every day from strokes. Now, the cause of a stroke is clogged arteries.
Mm-hmm.
The cause of a heart attack is clogged arteries, blood vessels. The only way that it comes to be clogged is from dairy and animal products. So just by eliminating those animal products out of their diet, we would eliminate 2,800 people dying every day.
Mm.
Wow, you know, we never thought about it like that. But then if you go back to the scriptures, though, you know, when meat is definitely allowed to be eaten.
No,
so
it's not.
Do you think that it is because
No, it's not. See, that's the mistake we make. Listen to me. When you go to the scriptures in the 9th chapter of Genesis, That's the first time the Creator gives permission to eat meat. Now, if you don't mind, Prince Amiel, do you have your scripture handy close to you? Prince Amiel, are you on the line still?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you. I hear you now.
Oh.
Do you have your Bible handy?
No, I can get it. You can go on to something, I'll get it.
Okay. See, I want to show our people that the Creator gave us free will. Remember in Genesis, He placed the man in the midst of the garden, and there were two types of trees. The tree of life, He said, thou shalt truly eat freely of that tree. And then He said, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, but the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Is that right, sister?
That is what He said, absolutely.
Now, you got a choice whether you want to live or you want to die. Because remember now, Moses gave the people the same advice. He said, I put before you this day life and death. And then Moses gives the answer. He said, choose life and live. Right?
That is correct.
That is very true. That is true.
Now, but you don't have to choose life and live. You can choose death and die. Now, when God destroyed earth by water, Noah and his family were the survivors of it. Now,
Prince.
Yes.
I'm back.
Start with the ninth chapter of Genesis.
Okay. Going to it right now. The ninth chapter of Genesis. And it reads, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green earth have I given you all things.
See, he changes his diet now. He goes from the green herb of Genesis 1 and 29 to now they have fallen to every beast now can be meat to them. Read on.
And but the flesh with the life
but
thereof,
the flesh
which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
Shall ye not eat any flesh with blood in it?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it.
So now when you eat meat, that blood flowed through these animals, that curse is on you. It flows through your veins and it clogs your artery. That plaque builds up, stops your heart, and gives you a heart attack.
Okay. Now that is a very interesting, that's very interesting. I can say that. So the health that you all have acquired from being vegans, you don't have any health issues like high blood pressure, diabetes, or anything like that?
I'm telling you, but man does not live by bread alone. You can't just eat that and think you escape the curse of God. You got to be obedient is better than sacrifice.
Right.
And so man that is to serve God, after serving with all his what? Heart, soul, mind, and might.
Right.
So it ain't just changing your diet. You got to change your understanding and your attitude and your behavior.
Correct.
So that these are the things that activate. Because remember, science says that you're only using less than 10% of your brain. So what is that other power being used for? Not being used. You have not even opened up the door yet to how to sustain life. You just got kindergarten by not eating stuff that you should have never eaten. It's like your children eating candy. It ain't going to kill them right away, but I guarantee you they're going to lose their teeth before they're 20 years old. No, it ain't. The bottle of pop ain't going to kill them right away, but I guarantee you all of that sugar is going to change the balance of what is going to take place, and that's why the children are having being diabetics at 8 and 9 years old now, where it used to didn't set in until you was 40.
Mm-hmm.
12 teaspoons of sugar in every bottle of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And sugar is one of the most toxic ingredients you can put in your body. And sugar is in everything that we eat.
That is correct.
And salt is in everything that we eat.
That is correct.
So I'm just saying that we brought in the medical science part of God's regeneration of our people to begin to deal with it from a scientific. And so joining our team is one of the foremost first African-American pharmacognosists who studies plant-based nutrition. And he's part of the Better World.
All right.
So we're working on
it. Yeah, I think that is some very good information. We have definitely been enlightened today with the information that you have given us. And as we said earlier, we're excited about our groups coming together and building together and bringing together a cohesive plan that will give our people an opportunity to be able to go to the Holy Land if they want to work, if they want to live, or if they want to just be in the United States and they settle for the United States if this is where they want to be, but to live on a holistic plane, which I wanted to bring my next information to the audience. Prince Asiel will have a show on the Yehuda Project, and we're planning on doing this on Tuesday. We will definitely put information up for the Prince to be able to do the show on Tuesday. And we were thinking around, I guess, about 6:30. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Great, great, great. So we're going to do a show on Tuesday. He'll have his show on Tuesday. It'll start at 6:30, and it'll go from 6:30 to 8:30. So for all of you all that are listening that are interested in asking him questions, to finding out information more about Members of a Better World, the organization, what they are doing, and how they're going to make a change for us that are here and for those that are in Israel, you will have an opportunity to speak directly with Prince Asiel on this matter. Also, we wanted to let you know that we at the Nation of Yehuda have joined ranks with the Members of a Better World. Prince Asiel is definitely the chairman there, one of the chairmen with the organization, and we will spearhead the training and information that is necessary for those who are interested in going over there to work in Arad, Israel, so that we can build a community and have a community base over there already. So it's a very exciting time for us. He has definitely been a blessing to us, and we do appreciate the connection that we have made. I don't have any more questions. Brother Donia, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I want to say that it's a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be on, to be able to speak with you, Nashi, I can't even get your name out.
Asiel.
Yeah, Asiel, Slika, you understand? And I hope to be able to speak with you, and I know that we're going to work tirelessly to fulfill our obligation, you understand, by joining on. And
let me just say to both of you, as I said earlier, Prince Haciel is not an individual. As chairman of Better World, I accepted that responsibility because I didn't want Prince Ishaya and Minister Yedidiel not to have the benefit of the experience of a spirit like mine with a history of serving God's people. I have no desire to run the operation day to day. I've asked Amiel join me as chairman to do whatever is necessary. I've asked Prince El Ram to join me to help guide and govern at the chairman level. I've asked any of the brothers and the sisters to be there because we believe that a world without the spiritual woman in the role of leader and leadership is going to reproduce the same results we see 6,000 years of that kind of mentality. So that's the reality. And we're looking for all.
Oh, I think somebody dropped him off. Prince Amiel, you're probably going to have to call him back in on the three-way because after 5:30, he's not going to be able to get in. So can you connect Prince back to the show?
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now. Hold on.
Okay. And area code 215, we're coming right to you as soon as we get Prince back on the line so that we can discuss. And we will be looking forward to any questions that you may have. Just give us one moment, please. For you all that are listening, Prince Haciel was disconnected by some means. I'm not sure what happened. But we're getting him back on the line so that we can continue to have a conversation and open up the channels of communication with anyone who may have a question.
Okay, Sister Aina, he's back.
Okay, great. I'm sorry about that. I forgot to make that announcement. That after 5:30, if your call drops, you won't be able to get back in. So we're glad that Prince Amiel was on the line and able to get you back. So would you please continue? We didn't hear that. Prince Amiel, are you there? Hello? One moment, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to get him back on the line. Let me open up the channels. Erico 215, you had a question for Prince Amiel.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to get – can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get him back now.
Okay, one moment, please.
Yeah, hold on, okay?
Yes, sir. One moment, Erico 215.
Prince, you there?
Ladies and gentlemen, just please be patient with us. We're having some technical difficulties.
Oh. Sister Aina, can you hear him now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I haven't heard him yet.
Hello, I'm back, Sister Aina.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm glad to hear your voice. I forgot to make the announcement that if the call drops after 5:30, you won't be able to get back in. That's how they have this set up. But I have a caller, area code 215. They have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my sister.
Yes, this is Eliana Yehuda. I am the chief of staff for Guyana, and I've been listening since 3:30, and truly privileged and honored to hear you speak today.
Thank you so much.
I have a couple questions. It might seem frivolous, but when you don't know, you don't know. So my first question is, I understand you that you call yourself Prince. In your bio, we understand that you said you were a father and a husband. And so I was just wondering, why is it that certain people put the title Prince in front of their name? And my second question, and probably more important, is I'm raising a 17-year-old, very high-profile student athlete. And today, for the first time, I explained to him about the Nation of Yehuda and my involvement and, you know, what I was doing. And I didn't know how he was going to receive it. And to my surprise, he received it with curiosity. He wanted to know more. And earlier in the show you talked about how because I am your sister, because you are my brother, because we are of the same bloodline, how we were able to accept the truth when we hear it. Once we hear it, we accept the truth and knowledge. And it reminded me, that's what my 17-year-old reminded me of. You know, he wanted to hear more. He wanted to know more. So I didn't know exactly how to, you know, bring him into the knowledge. I didn't want to confuse him. And I didn't know, you know, if there's a proper time for that. So that's a twofold question. The first part was your title as Prince. No disrespect intended, just seeking knowledge. And the second part is how do you try to embrace, you know, as someone who you taught to be a Christian your whole life, who they really are. When I was explaining to him how we're in captivity, he was very, he just wanted more.
Well, first of all, man, no frivolous questions, except you don't ask them to get answers. Now, the first question was about the title Prince. The reason that I accepted the title Prince was that when I accepted it, we meant it for one who is a servant to his God and his people. But as you know from Sister Yaina telling us that she's a descendant of King David's bloodline, royalty runs in the nation of Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah. Because David was a Judean. But we don't push that as being better than anybody else. We push that as a responsibility to serve the people, which distinguishes us from the House of Windsor in England, where Princess Anne, Princess Margaret, Queen Elizabeth, all of those are royalty above all of the other people. We only above the other people by our righteous deeds and works, not by a title of prince or princess.
I understand.
You understand, my sister?
I understand.
Now, as it relates to your 17-year-old, that's why we're doing the program on Tuesday nights at 6:30. So that those youngsters who don't have a history of understanding who they are before slavery can be guided and given information and documents to read and do the research so that they will be fully knowledgeable and that this is not just some religious or cult or sect trying to make themselves something, but trying to give them back their history so that they can validate and verify for themselves that they are a special people with a special responsibility, with a special mission in life.
I understand. Thank you. So now you said that because we are of the royal, I understand who we are. We are of the royal bloodline of King David, but am I correct that you just said that you can call yourself Prince because of the righteousness of the work that you do as a servant?
Yes, you see, anybody, the nation of Israel is to be a nation of prince and priests and princesses. And the only way that you would know them is by they were manifesting and manifesting the righteous deeds that the people of God was to do.
I understand. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, my sister. And I told Minister Prince on the air to get in touch with you so that you and him can work out some protocols.
Certainly. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right, all right. We are making this thing happen, show slowly but surely. It is truly a blessing. And one thing I want to say to all of you all that are in the listening audience, because I know the prince and all of his wisdom has raised some eyebrows for all of you meat eaters and those who like dairy products, because people are talking to me now. We're a nation. We're a nation, and we believe what we believe. But one thing we have in common is we are the Hebrew Israelites, and that's what keeps us bonded. You know, it's not for everybody. Everybody may not believe the same thing. They have had benefits of it, and it is beneficial to eat vegetables and fruits and all of those things because it is better for you. It is, no doubt about that, you know, but everybody is not there, and a lot of people won't do it. So I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, my God, you know, the Yehuda Project is trying to get people to be vegan. No, we just have wise brother that's been here around for 40 years that has the knowledge that they have done that has been beneficial for them, and he's bringing this information to us for those who are interested in doing that. They have the information and the data to validate what they're saying. For you all who want to eat meat, we don't have a problem with that. I had a sister that just told me, my teeth is meant to chew. I'm going to chew me some meat. So, I mean, you know, all of those things are great, and like I said, we're a nation. We have people that are vegan. We have people that are vegetarian. We have people that are conscious, semi-conscious, unconscious. But the one thing we have in common is that we're ready to roll up our sleeves and work together towards the building of our nation. And don't you agree, Prince, that that is our main objective?
Not only do I agree, but as I said earlier, your words are my words. I can't improve on what you just said any better than what you just said. We're not trying to. I used to tell people, I'm not getting ready to start no hamburger, no steak, no shrimp, no lobster, no turkey out of your mouth. You eat what makes you feel satisfied, and you just know that from a health point of view, there are things that are better for you and things that are not so good for you.
That is
so
true.
You do that consciously.
That's true.
I know if you drink, you know that the liver can only break down a quarter of an ounce of alcohol every 4 hours. So if you're standing up at the bar drinking for 4 hours straight, you're going to have cirrhosis of the liver.
Shalom, shalom, this is Adonia. Kane, don't say...
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. One moment, Donnie. He was speaking. Let me let him finish speaking, and I'll get you right on. Go ahead. What were you saying about the alcohol now?
I was just saying we see the condition of anybody that continues to drink alcohol. Not only does it cause cirrhosis of the liver, but it affects your thinking, your brain, your mobility. So we don't have to argue those things that we know. Those things that we don't know, we leave for the results to prove itself. So I agree with you, sister. I mean, everybody, this is a nation, and everybody grow at their own pace and do what God has put in their hearts for them to do.
Hallelujah. Hold on. Let me get a brother. Donnie, I go ahead. You're on the air. What question did you have now?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't notice you were still talking. I'm sorry. Don't we have dietary laws?
Of course we do.
If we stick to the dietary laws, we'll be full enough, you understand, and it does not exclude meat. They have certain meats you can eat and certain meats you can't eat. We just, you know, we try to make it more complicated than it really is, I think. Hallelujah.
Okay, I
want
to add something, too. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I want to add something, too. The thing to glean from this is that we're not saying that to be spiritual, you have to be a vegan.
Right.
By the same token, I just want to give an analogy, right?
Uh-huh.
Hitler was a vegan vegetarian, right?
Uh-huh.
So but you have to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, right?
Right.
The fruit, that he bore, even though he was a vegetarian vegan at some point, you see the atrocities that he committed. So man does not live by bread alone,
right?
Which is what Prince Asiel was saying earlier. It has to be the whole man, the whole woman, and just repeating what he was saying, we have to give all our heart, all our soul, all our might. So it's the holistic reality that we're talking about. And we'll get there, and the journey has begun. That's all we got to come to terms with. The journey has begun, and we're going to do what it takes to get there.
Yes, we are. Beautiful. And you know what's so powerful is that we're doing it. We're not talking about it. We're doing it, and I can see the vision already. I can see millions and millions of us coming together as a nation, all walks of life, from people that have all kinds of backgrounds, coming because this is where they know they need to be. And the main thing we have to do is also teach ethnicity, because once you know who you are, that opens up a whole nother opportunity for you to be able to live what we say we are. So it's beautiful. I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing, all of it, all the way around. Like you guys said, you're my brother. You know, I'm your sister. We're one, and we're still talking oneness, even in the differences that we have, because we still have love one for another. And that's the main thing. That is the only thing. So I think it's great. I'm excited about the show. Let me announce again, on Tuesday, they will have a standing invitation to the Nation of Yehuda, and they will be doing a show every Tuesday at 6:30. For them to be able to shine some light on our history of who we are. The same history that he gave this morning, at the beginning of the show, about, you know, us knowing who we were in the 1600s and all of the things that's going together. So I think it's beautiful. Is there any other comments, any other questions? Please push 1 so that we can get on Ask the Prince or Prince Asiel any questions that we may have at this time. Right, I don't see anyone that has pushed 1. Do you all have any last comments that you would like to make?
Well,
I want to thank you and the Yehuda Project and the Yehuda Nation for not only opening your doors for God's people, for all people, to come and partake of this blessed banquet of truth, information, and knowledge. And I applaud you for your tenacity, for your stand to itness. And I'm your brother, friend, and fellow worker in the field, so you can't call too early or too late for us to join you in the epic struggle to redeem Yah's people.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think we have another question here. Hold on one moment. Area code 215, you have another question? Go ahead, go on the air.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to chime in regarding the issue we were just speaking about, regarding what we eat and eating meat. And I just wanted to say everything has already been said about the matter. But I just wanted to add that as a leader of a business organization, I thank God that Yah has given us the ability to choose. He's given us the ability to know right from wrong and the ability to choose. There is an excellent video out called Forks Over Knives, and it basically breaks down the study that was done on people once they were, a group of people in China, once meat was taken away from them, how their health got better, and although it was taken away as a form of punishment, how their disease rate went down and health went up, and then as they became more free, how the disease rate went back up. And the proof is already been in the studies of living a life of fruit and vegetables, how it really is like the cure all most diseases, particularly the ones that plague black people.
having said that, it's an excellent video, Forks Over Knives, and what it means is that what we put on our fork can prevent us from going under the surgical knife.
You're absolutely right, and I know the men that made Forks Over Knives, and I'm in contact with them, and I'm a part of their ongoing effort to improve the quality of health and life for our people.
Wow, that's something. The more the Prince talks, the more we know we are with the right group. That has the kind of experience and connection that you have. I just have one question for you. Can I look in your black book and get some phone numbers and stuff? some of the connections you might have. I would love to be able to just peep in your black book and write down a few numbers or something. You know, it's just it's an experience for me.
Not only when I see you, I'm going to present that to you. I'm going to begin to make calls to people and let them know that you are chief in terms of the expansion of the work that I've been doing, that you are a co-leader in this epic effort, and that my 46 years of doing it is added to your number of years, and so you've got more time at it than me. So they will know that you are me.
Wow, that is truly an honor. I look forward to meeting you. We're definitely going to set something up. We want to come to Chicago, though, because I've never been to Chicago. So we're going to set something up with your chief of staff to set up us a sit-down meeting where we can actually come and have a sit-down. We also want to invite you, because I know you said you were going to help us, with the think tank that we were having in Atlanta, and we definitely would like for you to be a part of that, all of your people coming together so that we can bring some knowledge to the young people, you know, because there's a lot of Hebrews that are conscious. They've been living this life for so long that it's become monotonous to them, but we're trying to reach out to those young people. We're trying to reach out to those dope dealers and those women that are pole dancing and twerking and twicking or whatever they're doing out there. You know, we want to bring those people in and sit them down, because the Yehuda Project is a project that we started to bring current events to the people, to let them know just how late in the hour it is. And they keep us distracted by the things of entertainment. And it's time to cut the music off, come off the poles, come off the corner, and sit down so we can show you just how late in the hour it is. And that's what the think tank is all about, coming together to reach those groups of people. So I would love it if you would be able to help us put that together and be there as a voice to the people. Can we count on you to do that with us?
Absolutely. But one of the things I want to let you know, Atlanta was the first city when I started working in the 70s that I opened up for a mission for the KOY and the KOG. And I started the Atlanta mission that now exists.
Wonderful. I see the more you talk, the more I know we're with the right person. Because there's been organizations that have gone, like Brother Donnie, I said, it was a group that went to Israel on a fact-finding mission about the things that were going on in Dimona. And our position was, you know, let's deal with the future. We're not going to deal with the past. We're going to forge ahead and deal with the future. But for the people who were found culpable for some of the things that happened to the children there, do you think that they have found a way for those people to be punished? Because what was brought to my attention, and I wanted to bring this up because I kind of forgot about it earlier, but what was brought to my attention was that group was talking about putting a website together to identify the perpetrators so that they wouldn't be able to go from camp to camp. Now, I don't know what the legal restrictions of that would be, but from your standpoint, do you know if there's been anything done to the people, the perpetrators?
No, nothing at all.
Wow. So let me ask you this, Sasia. What would we do to prevent them from coming into what we're doing? How do we identify them?
Well, you see, that's what a board of spiritual men and women would do. We would sit down and look at the reality of the damage that you just got to articulating about our people, whether they be pole dancers or whatever kind of dancers. And we go down a list of things and take the laws of the God that we say gave us just laws so that we could live by and see how we help heal and correct those people that are afflicted with what we consider damaging things to themselves and to others. So I've got my thoughts on it, and I'll be more than glad to share my experiences with it so that we can have a consensus. And like the last caller said, there's studies out on all of the diets. And the reason that I don't use the word diet anymore, because it has dye in it, I say we got a lizard rather than a diet.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds like a plan. And a lot of things we have to discuss, we do have to discuss them face-to-face. Because as a nation, we have a responsibility to govern ourselves according to the law that was given to us by the Most High and to make sure that it is done. So I completely agree with you 100%. I concur. I'm looking forward to the meeting. We are rearranging our schedule so that we can make it sooner than later. We are definitely anticipating coming to Chicago and sitting down with you and really discussing what we need to do so that we can continue to support and to build together on some of the areas and make the connections that we need to make. So on that note, for all of you all that are listening under the sound of our voice, all of the board members for the Nation of Yehuda, we have our weekly annual board meeting today at 6:30. We will have a meeting today. Prince Asiel, no disrespect meant, we thank you so much for joining our program this evening, Prince Amiel. We thank you also for being a support to Prince Asiel and being there to help us, especially when he dropped the call, because that would have really been terrible. Because all of us are hanging off of every word that comes out of his mouth. And we just want to say thank you so much. We look forward to a continued relationship and commitment with the Yehuda Project and with the Nation of Yehuda. Brother Adonijah, do you have any lasting words for the prince? I think he might have his phone on mute. Do you all have any last words that you would like to say to the audience?
No, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
All right. Well, there's nothing else. Brother Donnie, are you there? Are you there, Brother Donnie? I think he's
there. Shalom, yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry.
I got a question for you.
What? What's the question?
What time is it?
Nation building time.
Thank you.
I just want to say also is that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
All right. And on that note, we tell all of our listening audience, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate all of your continued commitment with the Nation of Yehuda, and we will see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you so much, Prince Asiel and Prince Amiel. We appreciate your being our guests on our show, and we will talk to you on Tuesday. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom, shalom. All right, now see if you can disconnect.
All right. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project, and it was live today. It was off the chain, live, straight from Chicago. Prince Asiel Ben Israel was our guest. He has now become our confidant, our mentor. We're working together to build the nation of Yehuda, to build members of a better world, to build a nation. We're bringing nation building to the platform now. And again, don't forget Tuesday at 6:30, his show will begin. He'll be here every week. And we're going to just build the Yehuda Project with all kinds of shows. We look forward to doing that. And you guys, you know what? It's time for me to go. You know what? I have enjoyed every minute of it. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Yaina Israel. Shalom.